Hello, folks.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, folks, and welcome to the Elijah Winfrey Show. I'm your host, Elijah Winfrey, joined each week by my fabulous, wonderful, and super talented co-host, Tony Boucher. We have a great show lined up for you today. We have a tremendous guest, and I met this individual through a friend via Instagram, and I can't wait to have him on so he can tell his story. But before we do that, let's get you caught up on what we've been up to this past weekend. Tony, I know for you, you've been pretty busy, correct? I know your weekend was pretty packed.
Yes, I actually flew down to Phoenix into your time zone on Thursday to go to a conference. And so I just, and then flew back into Charleston yesterday morning. So I've been real busy with that. And it was really good. It was an entrepreneurs conference. So we were really focused on how to businesses and make sure that we're, it was focusing just on people who do like health and supporting people who want to, you know, mental health, physical health. And so that was really good to be around other people who are also working on helping people improve their lives. And but it did get me out of sorts. I'm now adjusting between the 3-hour time difference. So how about you, Eli?
Well, my weekend was pretty good, pretty relaxed, you know. And I got to tell you, you know, I've been in the gym now for the last 2 weeks. This is week 3 that I'm starting here. And physically, I'm feeling better and better. Mentally, I continue to work on things, you know, as everyone knows, you know, that bitter depression, it still lingers. And it's something that, you know, I have to constantly deal with on a daily basis. But all in all, you know, everything's going good. Spent some good time with family, and I've been working on booking guests. Like, I have this long list of guests, Tony, that I've been interacting with, and some are excited to be on the show. The date, you know, because our show is on Tuesdays, it's a bit tough. But I can say I did confirm a guest for next week, and I'll tell the listeners more about that at the end of the show today. So we're making progress. And, you know, after doing that, I spent some time, you know, doing my homework on South Shore Elementary. As most of you know, we're involved with them and trying to make the community there better by hopefully mentoring. We purchased school supplies and computers for the school, which was awesome. And so they have a PTA coffee chat every month. And this month is on the 25th, and I hope to attend that. And you kind of sit there and you listen to parents and you know, other community leaders talk about ways that the school can get better and you know, what services do they need going forward, what ideas do they have going forward that will help the students fulfill, you know, their goals there. So I hope to attend that. So the weekend was pretty relaxed. You know, I got plenty of rest, which is good. The family's doing really well. So, you know, all is good on this front. The sun is out today, Tony, and the last 2 days, or the last day and a half, it's been pretty decent. You know, it's going to change here going forward starting tomorrow. So I'm trying to soak up as much sun as I can. And before we get into the show, it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And I posted a little something on my social media pages, but I want folks to know that, you know, my nonprofit, we are centered around autism, homelessness, and underprivileged youth. But that doesn't mean that we don't support other causes that are important to not just us, but other people around the country. And I would encourage everybody to support your local causes, support these organizations that are helping families or individuals who are struggling with breast cancer or other things in the community. It makes us all better. It makes us all whole, if you will. So get out there and show your love to folks. I have 3 friends who have been battling cancer and winning thus far, and I love them dearly, Elizabeth Satterfield, Craig Butler, and Heather Walsh. very good friends of mine, and I love and support what they do and how they battle back and continue to show cancer that, you know, that they're going to win. So get out and support your local organizations that are doing a terrific job in raising awareness for breast cancer. Now, my friend, let's transition to the show today. And our guest today, Tony, I met him through a friend on social media, and the friend's name was Scott Autry, and he and I talked one day about Corbin, Terry, and he told me his story, and I wanted to get him on. I wanted to find a way to get him on the show, and you know, he is a former golfer, really good golfer, by the way, folks, for those listening to the show, very good golfer. And I wanted to have him on the show today to talk about his story and what he is dealing with and going through on a daily basis, you know. And Corbin, thank you for taking some time out on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome.
So let's get right into it, man. So you and I text, you know, when we do text each other, we go for quite a bit, and you definitely keep me informed on what's going on with your son. How did this all start for you? When did it all begin?
It probably began when he was about three. We kind of he was very delayed in his speech, and just kind of when you're in, like, in his preschool classes and everything, you kind of knew something wasn't right. And so we just kind of gradually just started watching and doing, you know, doing certain things. And he started doing therapies and all that. And then they kind of, you know, told us, you know, you're pretty much going to have to kind of work harder, watch him, you know, and do certain things a little different than you normally would with the child. So, and then he, so we started doing all that, and, you know, things started getting a little bit worse and worse, and, you know, he would kind of act out occasionally, and then probably when he was about 3.5 to 4, we, because he also has autism, seizures, and something called speech apraxia, and so we actually... One night, he was, our St. Bernard at the time came and got us in the middle of the night when he had his first seizure when he was about 3.5. And so that kind of, you know, that started the seizure part. And then after he had his seizure, he was doing okay. And then probably starting about when he was probably 4.5, I would say, is when kind of things kind of started to get a little, well, we couldn't really handle much more, like handle it all. It started getting really difficult to, you know, he just kind of knew he was going further and further and further behind. But he is smart as a whip, though. He's very smart, but it's just, you know, trying to get him to do certain things to, like go to school a couple times last year. I mean, it would, you know, kids with autism, they'll sit there and have huge fit, like, you know, the tender tantrums, I guess you would call it. And he would throw quite a few of those, you know, a day trying to get him to go to school. And, you know, and then, so it just kind of just all, like, probably, I would say probably last year is when they actually diagnosed him with autism. So it's been kind of a learning since then. But like with him, you have other things to go along with the autism. Like during Christmas last year, he actually had 5 seizures in a course of an hour. And so we had to, you know, we spent Christmas in the hospital. He was actually in the hospital for his seizures back in June for a week-long testing at Le Bonheur in Memphis. So it's, and then, So he's like right now we've changed a few things and he's getting a little bit better and actually kind of he's picking him up from school now and he's a little bit more excited than he was last year, so that's good.
Good to hear. Talk to me about, I know he was dealing with, was it bullying a while back or last year?
We briefly talked about that. Not really. He actually has had a couple kids this year kind of make fun of his speech because of the speech apraxia. I don't know if you're familiar with what speech apraxia is, but it's basically like whatever you're thinking in your head, what you're going to say or speak or whatever, it doesn't come out that way. It comes out as nothing that he thought it was. And so when he's around his friends at school, that's what happens. So when he gets nervous, it gets even worse. So what we ended up doing is we actually went and got the teacher a book about kids with speech apraxia. And so it will make the kids in his classroom be a little bit more aware of what Hayden has. So right now, since we've done that, he hasn't really had, no one's really said anything about it. He talks more about what's going on in the classroom, his friends, who he wants to go to his birthday party. So that actually has worked out pretty well.
That's great, because I know a lot of stories that I do hear or come across is the bullying can be quite intense and it can be ejecting for anyone for that matter to want to go back and have to deal with that.
Oh yeah, that's probably really the only case we've actually have had of anybody really making fun of him. I know last year he had maybe a couple times to do it. The kids in his class made fun of him, but he's kind of, I don't think it really 100% bothers him that much, but he will come home and talk to us about it.
Right.
But we've only had really one or two cases maybe. And other than that, it hasn't really made it to where it was difficult for him to go back to school or anything like that. He kind of just forgets about it and goes on his way after he talks to us, pretty much.
Good. How is it, his diagnosis of having autism, how has that affected, your life, your wife? Impacted you?
It's not easy by any means. I've actually, I've been in the golf business forever, loved the golf business. Always enjoyed it, all the people you would meet. And I actually had to take a kind of a step, like pretty big step backwards. And just to be here for him when he's at school, because he's already has missed 8 days of school already this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've, had to come pick him up at all different times of the day because he's had a headache. Something happened, or he's got sick, so I kind of had to step back a little with that, but we've also, probably one of the biggest things we have done as a family is that we actually, back in May, made a decision to get him a service dog. And so we have actually been trying to raise money and he has a service dog now, but we're trying to raise funds and do certain things to, so he has his service dog trained within 2 years. And, it makes the biggest difference in the world. He can come home. If he's had a bad day at school, all he'll do is come to Ginger, his service dog, give her a big old hug. And it's like whatever happened at school right now kind of goes away. That's amazing.
Now, I have a question about your service dog. Like, what So when he comes home, you know, how do they interact? Like, what does the dog do in particular that, you know, he can kind of read,
like,
what's going on?
Like right now, she's pretty much still a puppy. She's only 6 months old, but
okay.
She's kind of like with autism, you know, it's just, you know, pretty much one of the main things she's going to learn to do here. You know, the trainer has actually already kind of been working with her, is like deep pressure therapy, to where when he does have the fits and when he does come home and he's crying, you know, she's going to go and kind of lay on him and give him a kiss, you know, just things to calm him down. And she hasn't had that much training in that part, but she's actually, you know, she's already starting it, and we can already tell a big difference in him. And because we would literally probably in a course of a month with him, maybe go out one or twice in a course of a month. Now with Ginger, like I said, we want to go out to eat, or we want to go to Target or whatever. He would, you know, he used to be like, no, I'm not going to go. And now we're like, okay, we'll take Ginger, you know, well, Ginger's coming, you know, he'll run to his room, put his clothes on, his shoes, everything, and run out the door with the silver stall. You know, but back in, before we had him, he wouldn't do anything. I mean, he would kick, scream, say, I'm not going.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, it's been, you know, the biggest difference in the world right now, but, so.
That is big, and you know, I'm happy to hear that, and you know, I know, you know, just having you on the show today and having the listeners listen to this story, you know, I'm sure that, you know, they're amazed at, you know, the amount of seizures that he's gone through and he's had, and he's basically come out the other side, and he continues to push forward. And you know, I know my co-host, you know, she is, I consider her an autism guru. You know, she knows way more about things on the spectrum than I do. I continue to learn, you know, every day.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is wonderful. And I think a lot of families need to hear this, these types of stories, Corbin, because, you know,
yeah,
a lot of dads aren't as willing to come forward and tell their story and talk about,
yeah,
you know, the day in, day out, you know, struggle that it can be, especially as you said, you know, you had to take a big step back from playing golf, something that you're very good at, you know, and take care of your son and your daughter, you know. I mean, we haven't even discussed her. I know we talk about that via text quite a bit. So, I commend you for doing all that you're doing for your family and getting the answers and the services that you need. I think it's so important that we continue to push for that.
Oh yeah, he's doing good. I mean, he's still, you know, I know it's going to be a struggle for a while. He, you know, he's every day, you know, it's like I tell people all the time. I said, I don't know what I'm doing 5 minutes from now, or even less than that. I mean, a lot of people may not really understand that, but, you know, I may have to get off the phone here and go get him from school. I don't know, but, I always tell my wife, I said, anything you want me to do while I'm at home during the week, I need to have it done before noon. Because if I'm going to go get him, it's usually anywhere between noon and a little bit before I pick them up from school. One of those two, I'll always get phone calls.
Right.
So I always try to stay close around the house.
Right. I'm going to let my co-host jump in and ask a question or two, because I know she's definitely wanting to do that. So, Tony, I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, thank you, Eli. Yeah. Yeah, I guess I just wanted to hear a little bit more. You've already started us talking about a strategy that you are implementing in your life to help make things easier for you. I'm curious about any advice or tips you have for our listeners who also maybe have a kid on the spectrum who's dealing with the seizures, because that adds a whole other layer of challenge for everybody, including your son and the family. So what, you know, what would you recommend for other families who are dealing with the teachers to help make it a little easier?
Well, like I said, depending on how, severe the seizures and stuff are, I really would look into having, the service dog, because it will eliminate, for my son, because a lot of his seizures, I think, are triggered by stress and everything. Mm-hmm. And so having, Ginger, because he's had three seizures since he's had her. So three or four. And so maybe a little bit more than that. I can't, I'm not 100% sure, but anything to me, when you have a child with autism, is to try to calm him down the best way you can. The first seizure my son ever had, Ginger was right there, didn't leave her, nothing. And before we got her, me and my wife would be sitting in the kitchen making dinner, doing whatever, and we would have to go check on him literally like every 5 minutes. We'd be like, playing, mm-hmm. We'd be like, okay, who's going to go watch him this time? But, with Ginger, we don't have to do that as much anymore. Because when she starts to bark, we'll run in there, make sure she's okay, he's okay. Mm-hmm. And that's probably one of the biggest things we've done has been the seizure dog or the service dog.
Yeah, I do believe that. My daughter has a dog as well, and she told me when she got Mika, she's 25, and she said that when she got her dog, Mika knows to sleep on her to give her the pressure, and she said that yeah. The best night's sleep she ever had was being able to have her dog put that pressure on
yeah.
her. So, I think that's a great tip for people.
My mom used to always sit there and, and always tell us and everything. One thing she always told me when I had kids, no matter what happens, no matter what they do, no matter what they had, just always love them. And
right.
She has always, and that's pretty much like when he's sustained, he starts throwing his fits, he's kicking and screaming and hollering, and that's always the first thing that pops in my head.
Right,
and that's one of the, so it gets, that gets, me through a lot of what he goes through every day, so I always have that always in the back of my head.
Mm-hmm. That's when they need us the most.
Yeah, so it's just, it's just like kind of, if you show fear, they're going to pick up on it too, and it's going to make whatever's going on that time even worse. So, sometimes, I'll sit there when he's throwing a fit, I'll just grab him, and I'll just give him a hug and just calm him down.
Mm-hmm.
He'll start, hitting, on his butt or on my back or whatever. There's been a couple times to where it's that bad to where he's hitting me in the nose, and, that blood running down my nose. I'm just sitting there just holding him.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And so.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's, so that's just, that's why I always have in the back of my mind.
I think it's again, I admire you as a father, and, for you to come on and talk about this and share your story. I hope that it gets more dads that will be willing, not just to come on the show, but to maybe confide in someone that's close to them about, what they're dealing with and what they're doing and how they're approaching it. Just an outlet, if you will, just to kind of have somebody there that's not going to hold it against you or use it against you, but instead will say, if you need anything, I got your back.
Oh yeah. I was actually trying to run a golf tournament for him, for his service dog, to raise money, because service dogs probably about the average, between $10,000 and $15,000. And mm-hmm. So I was actually trying to do a golf tournament and to raise money that way and everything. And that didn't work, because he actually went into the hospital for the week of the golf tournament, so we had to cancel it. But we've had a lot of local people. We've had a lot of local people around here, my friends and everything, you know, churches, everything, donating money and everything to raise money for her. And I'm actually trying to get together with a buddy of mine. He has an organization called, I believe it's called So Give. It's a shoe company like a nonprofit. And so he's done shoes for like the food bank. He's done shoes for Down syndrome. And so I'm actually trying to get a shoe together for autism. And so where all the proceeds and stuff will go to autism and to my son for remaining balance of his service dog. So I'm actually trying to do that. And you know, anybody who's listening or whatever, they want to go in there and look at the shoes. The shoes, actually, I believe I was told that it should be up today on their website, where they can, you know, cause I'm trying to like get pre-orders done to see how many I can actually order. Cause we actually designed the shoe, I think last Friday, and he sent it to me yesterday. So,
okay. So what's the name of the site again? What's the name of the company?
It's called So Give.
So Give. Okay. Very good. So,
yeah.
So hopefully the listeners will take heed and go check them out and donate if they can. I think that'd be great. Listen, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, man. This was a long time coming. Like I said, via text, we kind of text back and forth. But to have you on the show, I think it's tremendous. And you're always welcome back. Okay. I hope to someday get out there and visit you and hang out and maybe hit the ball around a little bit and get to know you even more. I think that'd be a treat for me and I know, you know, you'd have fun as well. And I'd love to meet your son someday.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much. And listen, you have a great week and continue to make someone or something better, my friend.
Oh, y'all too. Thank y'all very much.
You're
Thanks
very
for
welcome.
Joining
Take
us.
Take care.
All right, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Corbin Terry. Great story. And, you know, Tony, you know, in speaking with quite a few dads via text, via email, the one thing that makes them extremely nervous to come out and tell the story is, you know, not having someone run and you know, discredit or use it against them, the shame, embarrassment, because they reveal quite some things that are very difficult to hear. A lot of the dads have told me about, you know, having a hard time accepting that their son or daughter is autistic.
I think what I loved, though, about listening to this story today was I didn't hear, like, I hear a lot of acceptance from this dad. Like, I didn't hear any, oh, well, if he was just this way or we've got to get him to be this way. Instead, it's just, this is the way things are, and I love him the way he is. And we're going to do some things different so that we can support them the best we can. And I think that goes so far because kids, you know, I talk to the adults once they've grown up and had these life experiences all the time who say, you know, that when they had that acceptance and they knew that their parents loved them the way they were, that was more important than therapy. That's the feedback I get so often. Knowing that they were accepted and loved makes all the difference. So I just really appreciated hearing this story from a dad who just, you know, he's just knowing that this is the way things are and he's going to make some adjustments in his life so that he can support this, you know, beautiful soul the best he can.
Absolutely. And, you know, it sort of reminded me of Donald Bailey when he was on the show.
Uh-huh.
And he shared his story, which was very unique in itself. And, you know, I would encourage listeners of the show today, you know, if if you're willing to talk to someone, doesn't have to be on the radio show, doesn't have to be on TV or anything like that, but if you have a friend that you really trust and respect,
mm-hmm.
and you feel like, you know, you need an outlet to at least let other folks know where you're coming from, I would recommend that you open up a bit. And listen, I know it's difficult. And, you know, depression is not autism, but I often tell myself, I have to give myself pep talks all the time to use my go-to team, people that really are invested mm-hmm. in my well-being, to open up and let them know, hey, man, I'm hurting today mentally. I can't get it going. So I would encourage you all to at least give it some real good thought, because when you do open up to that one person that really has your best interest at heart, it really changes your perspective on how you see things, and you proceed, mm-hmm. you know, forward a bit better.
It's not so heavy. The burden you're carrying doesn't feel, gives you a different perspective. It doesn't feel the same anymore when you do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, my friend, we are closing in here on the end of the show, and I know that you've had a long past weekend, and I'm sure getting started with the week here is just, you know, as you said, you're out of sorts trying to get things back in order. Is the rest of the week for you, is there any moment during the week or weekend where you're going to be able to kind of shut it down and kind of recharge a bit?
Yeah, I'm going to take as much time as I can this week and over the weekend to just take it easy. And, you know, some of the things around the house have been getting neglected, so I'm going to actually enjoy catching up on, on cleaning things that need to be cleaned, so I'll feel like I'm in a better space. And so, yeah, I'll have my groups, my men's and my women's groups, but other than that, I'm not going to have any other ambitions to get things done. I'm just going to relax and take it easy a little bit. This was two weekends in a row of conferences for me.
Right.
And so, yeah, and we've talked about how that's, you know, it really does get me out of sorts, and it takes extra time to recover from that. So I've scheduled that in.
Let me ask you this.
I've just said I was enjoying it. Scheduled it. Mm-hmm.
Right. Let me ask you this before we transition to what I'm going to be doing the rest of the week. Is there any moment that you've ever felt, you know, as you're getting close to the weekend and your men's group is coming up, and have you ever thought, you know, I'm just going to really just shut down from everything. I'm just going to, you know, kind of really recharge and maybe we'll pick up the following week. Have you ever thought of that, or has it just been, just give me a couple of days and then I'm back up?
Yeah, I had, it's interesting because my men's group, I had done it in chunks of like 8 weeks and then take a break. And I did that as much for myself as I thought the men would appreciate a break as well. And I got so much feedback, like, when are you going to start it up again? So I actually started, based on their feedback, running it every weekend. And what I'm trying to do, since I have so many folks that need services on the weekends, because that's when they function in a place where they're ready to learn, or they're ready to, you know, they don't have school or work necessarily, that I'm really trying to schedule my Mondays so that I'm guarding those. So it's a one day off a week that I have that I don't do anything. Now, it doesn't always work that way, but I do actually have it in my calendar that Mondays are off. So I've just shifted my perspective of what my weekend is. It's, I don't have a weekend where I take time off. It's more I have a Monday. And when I stick to that, when I draw that line of this is my one day that is just for me and not to do anything, it really makes a difference. It does help. But it's easy. You know, somebody calls and says, I need something. And you're like, oh, I'll just fit it in on that Monday. It's really hard to stick to those boundaries. And it's a work in progress. I'm learning.
Right.
So, did that answer your question?
That did. I was just curious because, you know, I know it could be extremely difficult flying across the country, then back, and then trying to get back in the flow of things. It just seems like you're not fully there. completely. And to try to pick up, it's just painful.
Well, we were just I was joking with you offline before we started that for some reason I had it in my head that we would be doing this show at 2:30, and thank goodness the alarm went off to remind me that it's 2. So that's it's real easy to get out of sorts, and I'm not back yet. So if anybody out there is expecting to hear from me and you don't, it's not personal. You may need to reach back out to me. Say, hey, Tony, where are you? Yeah.
I like that, though, Tony, that what you just said. You know, if you don't hear from me, you know, don't take it personal. Like, I am recharging, and I need this. Mm-hmm. You know, I could talk to you, but if I do, it just continues to drain what little I have left, and then you may not get the right content, you know, presented to you because I'm rushing through this. I'm not mm-hmm. thinking as clearly as I could if I were really recharged. So I like that you said that.
Yeah.
Well, my week, my friend, will be centered around, continuing to reach out and book more guests. Next week's show, we have Carl Brooks Jr. coming on, and he's a pastor, and he has he runs a church that specializes in families who were not included in other churches, and I'm talking about autism families, Down syndrome. So he really focuses on those families, and it's called Not Forgotten Ministries. And I attended this service last month, and I was blown away. And I'm excited to have him on the show to tell his story and how this all started for him.
Yeah,
absolutely. Great. So I'll be working on more guests and back in the gym and continuing to work on my mental health. And, you know, for the folks who reached out and text, and, you know, I had a few friends yesterday reach out, you know, I'm doing pretty well. You know, I'm close to being where I want to be. But again, it takes time. You know, there are setbacks. So I'll continue to work on that aspect of myself and try to get better and continue to build a nonprofit. This month, October 13th, we'll be celebrating year number 6 in existence. So I'm excited to
congratulations to
share that news. Yes. So thank you so much. So we've come a long way and we've built something that's been pretty sustainable. So we hope to continue to grow and continue to get better and to help the community. So I'll be preparing a little speech about that. So, and spending time with family. So it'll be another kind of sprinkled in with a few golf lessons, pretty relaxing week as I continue to climb that mountain. So absolutely. So Tony, that's about it for the show today. We'd like to thank Corbin Terry for being on, a great guy. Mm-hmm. And we hope to have him back and give us an update on how his son's doing. We'd like to thank all of you for tuning in to the show each and every week. We try to provide you great content. We really, really love the support that we get. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Get out in your communities, folks, and make someone or something better. Put a smile on somebody's face. Pretty easy to do. Doesn't take a lot of energy at all. Take care. God bless. Thank you for listening to The Elijah Winfrey Show on blogtalkradio.com. Bye-bye.